3 hours, overnight from.
All right, good morning. It's my pleasure to convene the call to order the Police Judicial and Legal Committee of Mount Pleasant Town Council for this January 3rd, 2022. As someone posted on social media today, given the weather and the long holiday, and this is a Monday, this might be the Mondayest of all Mondays this year. So thank y'all for being here. I want to thank our staff who worked hard during the holidays, and I know y'all kept us safe. I heard a lot of sirens around town, some on Christmas Day. So we appreciate all that y'all did. I want to mention that Councilmember Carl Ritchie, who's a member of this committee, is joining us by telephone, as is allowed by our ordinances. Chief, we'll do a sound check. Are you picking us up okay?
I am, and thank you for accommodating.
Great, all right. So if you have something to add at some point, just ask to be recognized as if you were here in person, and we'll make sure we get to you on that. All right, great. Our agenda has been published. Item number two is approval of the minutes of our December 6, 2021 meeting. Do we have a motion?
Approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
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 All right. The minutes are approved. Item number three is public comments. If you'd like to make a public comment, please come to the lectern, give your name and address, and as you know, you have 2 minutes. Anyone here for public comment? Yes, sir.
Chris Coleman, 118 Pitt Street. So very good to see you all here. You're right, it's the Mondayest of Mondays. I'm pretty tired, and I hope you all had a good holiday. You've seen here before, just to convey the basic points of, I don't think the noise ordinance should set a level over 60 in a residential area. It should not have an averaging period in it at all, so that a commercial area can send in louder noise into a residential area. And third, the level of penalties need to be greatly increased. I did respond, a couple of you asked a few questions that I responded to yesterday. Sorry, I'm a bit slow. One was, how are vehicles regulated for noise? Most typically, it's regulated by a separate freestanding ordinance that says a car can be no louder than, or a vehicle can be no louder than X decibels. Works better on a statewide basis, but you're a big town and it probably could work here. So that's one of them. Yeah. Second is, you had asked, do municipalities set different noise levels in different zoning districts? And the answer to that is yes. I was trying to find one that was finely diced, so that if it was a dense residential, it was this, and if it was a light residential, it was that. I didn't find that, but I did send that around. It's not uncommon. I can find that. I know your capable councilman has other examples for that as well, so I thought I'd bring those tools to your attention so you can use them as you see best fit. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris. Next. Happy New Year.
Same to you. And thank you all for what you do. And I appreciate you being in the hot seat. I've been there myself. I'm Louisa Montgomery at 404 Church Street. And I back up what Chris says. Chris lives on Pitt Street. I live on the corner of Church and Hibbins, so I'm squeezed between what's going on Pitt Street and what's going on Shem Creek. And Shem Creek is a particular problem because with the wind blowing in the right direction, it comes right down Church Street, past my house, toward Venning Street even, which is the corner of Pitt and Venning. So I beseech you to lower these decibels as low as possible. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else before we close public comments? All right, we'll move on to item four, which is police matters. There are no agenda items. Judicial matters, there are no agenda items. Legal. This is 6A. Again, we are discussing our noise ordinance for the town of Mount Pleasant. And I think just to give everybody a recap, we have decided to do some groundwork on this. A good ordinance is what we're after. Hurrying that on something this complicated with this many different facets is never the right way to make laws. So we have some things given to us by Chief Arnold over the weekend. Mr. Pagliarini, I'll sort of kick it over to you and just sort of give us a status update, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor, committee members. When we left off, this committee was concerned really with a few major things. With that, was getting some real-world readings and some opportunities to go out in the field. And Chief Arnold will discuss that in just a moment, as well as the readings that his staff came up with. Also, Mr. DeFord is just going to present for just about 2 minutes with some minor changes to the ordinance as discussed by this committee last month, mainly related to road noise and the like. So I'll turn it over to Mr. DeFord, and then you'll hear from Chief Arnold.
Happy New Year, Matt.
Happy New Year. Morning, Mayor Haney, council members. Let's see. The main changes that came out of this iteration, I'll bring your attention to page 2. Under the definitions section, we have a definition for plainly audible, which in summary just means able to be heard by a person of normal sensibilities, and it's at about the volume of normal conversation, which is roughly 60 decibels. 2 is receiving property just below that definition, which is any residence or place of business on which uninvited noise is plainly audible. And then if you go to the next page, 3, about halfway down, uninvited noise is noise not originated from the receiving property. Now, if we go to page 4, we have section E, which is the specific items that are specifically prohibited. And the following page, we have E4, amplified sound. So what that would do is make it unlawful for any amplified sound that is plainly audible from inside of a receiving property, inside of the business or a residence of a receiving property. So on top of the decibel restrictions, we'd also have that restriction as it pertains to amplified sound. The second change here is we added in right under that for mufflers, which prohibits sound emitting from motor vehicles in violation of the state code, which prohibits the tampering or modification of mufflers. And then with respect to the penalties provision, there is a general penalty provision under Title 13, which houses the noise ordinance, which provides for the maximum penalty that municipalities may impose, which is a $500 fine or up to 30 days imprisonment or both. I've added that in to this section as well, which it can be there, or we can rely on the title's general penalty provision.
So $500 is the limit by state law of what a municipality can do?
Yes, sir, that's correct, per occurrence.
Okay, and that doesn't mean it would be 500. It means it can be up to 500, is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, and you could impose a minimum. So in this draft here, this is more just to kind of point out how it could be structured, but you could have a minimum fine of, say, $50, and then no more than 500. You could have that lower. You could take out the minimum. It would be up to this committee's and council's discretion.
How does that work in law enforcement when there's a range? Let's just say there's a violation of this or any sort. Does our police department decide on that, or is the offense done, and then when it comes to the court says there's a range of this to that, and I'm, you know, deciding that your penalty is this much?
I won't speak for the chief, but typically on the ticket, it's written out as the maximum penalty, and then, of course, when you get to court, it can be adjudicated in any way.
Okay, so it's typically written at the maximum?
Yes.
Okay, and that's kind of the same way traffic violations are done as well?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I have a question.
Sure.
On the violation, it says that if the violation is of a continuing nature, each day constitutes an additional separate and distinct offense. So if I'm a business and I get my ticket on Tuesday or on Friday, well, I've already got my ticket. I can crank up the music as loud as I want it to go for the rest of Friday night, and that's not a second offense. Is that how this is written? Or can multiple calls come in over the same day? Like, if I've got my ticket, then I turn it up. Can they come in again and say, turn it down and give me a separate ticket?
Please do, yes. That's a good question.
Good morning, Mayor.
Happy New Year.
Committee members. To answer your question, that seldom ever happens. Most of the time when we go to a location, tell people to turn it down, they usually cooperate. If somebody wanted to continue to push this, we would most likely confiscate the equipment used to make the noise as evidence of the offense. I mean, it just does not happen.
Okay.
It could, but we don't see that as happening very often.
All right, thank you.
Chief, while you're up there, do you all want to talk about these observations?
Sure, absolutely.
This will be a good time.
I asked the captain of patrol division to have some of our officers take some initial leads. We did this back a couple months ago when we started, and the readings are not that much different from our initial readings. They were taken at between 6 and 7 p.m. on Saturday evening at the locations listed below. Highest location was Saltwater Cowboys and Reds at 75. These are taken from the property line of the businesses. And then at 10 p.m. and 11 p.m. again, Saltwater Cowboys and Reds still the highest. The only noise complaints we received this weekend while we were doing these readings were for fireworks, but that's very common every year on New Year's Eve to and the
4th of July. We hear about it too.
Right, exactly. So we did not receive any noise complaints with these readings. So that's kind of where we are with this. It's very difficult, I think, to just look at a number and say, well, that's what that sounds like. So that's why I offered an email to set up whenever we can work out a time at your convenience to do a demonstration where we can take an amplifier, play some music at these different locations so that you can actually hear and look at a decibel reader and say, this is what 60 decibel sounds like when you're standing across the street from X location, if that would be helpful.
And just for public information, the chief has offered for council members to accompany our officers so we can actually go out and experience these noise levels at these locations so that we can craft a better ordinance. We appreciate that. I think almost all of us plan to take you up on that as well. So are you saying that at these levels this particular weekend there were no complaints about loud music?
That's correct.
Okay. And this, again, for the record, the readings were taken from the property line of the businesses.
Correct.
Committee members?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Chapman.
One of the individuals here during public comment talked about measuring or averaging. Is there an averaging mechanism recommended with the use of the equipment, or is that really not happening?
Mac, can you speak to that? It deals with a number of readings.
Yes, sir. We removed that provision for averaging, so it would just be if it's in a, and we also took out residentially zoned and not, and commercially zoned, and we just made it residential area. So that's going to be any property that has a single-family home or multifamily home or the like, and then non-residential will be anything else. So it would just be from the property line of whether it's a residential property or a non-residential property.
Yeah, and I didn't see the averaging. That's why I wanted to ask the question. I have another question.
Yes, please.
Chief, also in a email I received, talked about a particular restaurant having a resident affiliated with one of the restaurants having the ability to call in and tell them or to text them about the noise being too loud. You may or may not have received the same email. How does that work?
So I did receive some emails this morning. I'm not sure I read that specific one. I know that there are some of the local businesses that have had developed relationships with citizens, so it's such that they can say it's too loud and text back and forth to kind of adjust it. They're kind of policing themselves. I don't know if that's the situation you're referring to.
It is. How does that work? If the person next door calls the police department complaining,
we would respond at that point. And if this goes into effect, we would take a reading. We'd meet with the business and let them know if they are in fact in violation or if they're not in violation.
Right. Now, that's kind of what I thought. I just wanted to make sure there wasn't some special relationship worked out for a particular business or businesses.
No, there's
not. If it had
not.
Any impact.
Any citizen that calls us at any time with a complaint for noise, we will respond and we will investigate it to determine if the noise is excessive.
Okay, thank you. That's what I expected. I just wanted to put that on the record.
Okay.
Let me ask real quickly how this also works. We know there's certain areas in the old village where you know there's only one entertainment venue with an outdoor thing. So if you're and I don't mean to just pick out the old village, but that's where a lot of this is recurring and notice where these readings are from. Let's say it's Shem Creek or any other area with a concentration of entertainment, you know, bars, venues and stuff. We get a noise report. Somebody, you know, a resident says, I'm hearing noise that's coming from Shem Creek. And there's no right or wrong in it. We're just trying to figure out how we apply this broad noise ordinance. How do the police know which establishment that person is complaining about? There could be three live bands playing on Shem Creek that night, right?
Right.
So the best way from y'all's experience to respond to something like that is what? Go in the general direction that music's coming from and try to establish what, and it could be more than one, right?
It could be. That's part of the investigative process. We would respond and we would do our best to identify which band or which venue.
I mean, you ask them, you know, is this country western? Is it beach music? So you kind of know who to.
Right. But we would determine if there's multiple venues that have live music through the use of and if this passes through the use of meters, we would determine to the best we can.
Okay.
Which is, but some of that is just going to be going to the individual places and saying, okay, this one's really loud or this one's
okay.
It just takes some investigating.
And so would the responding officer probably go to the property line, get a reading, go up to the owner and say, hey, I'm measuring you at 80 and you need to be at whatever this ends up being, and work with them to maybe turn it down?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Especially in the beginning.
Right.
If this were to move forward and pass, there's going to be a period of time where we're working with them and we're issuing warnings and,
right,
and things like that.
And it wouldn't hurt as this gets established if these establishments got their own decibel meter, just kind of walk out in the parking lot and go, we're good, right? I mean, that would save us a lot of personnel time, a lot of...
I believe some of them have.
Okay.
That's certainly something that if they wanted to be proactive.
Right.
as a business owner, I think I would want to make sure that I wasn't violating an ordinance.
Right.
And if there was something I could do, we'd try to do that.
Right. Well, and you know, some of this, like we're experiencing today, can be atmospheric. You could have live music on Shim Creek on a windy night with the wind in the right direction and the wind howling. Nobody might hear it, but on a perfectly still night, that sound will travel over water and marsh a long way. So just this training process with these establishments might help us and them a lot, I think.
It would be a training and for both the officers and the establishments,
right,
moving forward. That's why in the initial part of this, we wouldn't be issuing citations. It would be warnings and...
Right. And then so far as getting council members out to sort of experience some of this, are we trying to get this done before next Tuesday's meeting for a vote with council, or does it depend on whether we can or not?
Right, Mayor. Moving forward, I think there's several options. If you'd like to hold this off until the next committee meeting and council, or this committee and council members have that opportunity, that's one way. If you're somewhat satisfied with the writing or the written portion of the ordinance, subject to the figures being changed, the numbers being changed, it is possible to move forward with first reading next week and then amendments following that. So either will suffice depending on the level of comfort this committee has.
So of this draft that we were given today with some of these changes that Mac went over,
yes,
does this committee need to take action on that wording?
No, sir, unless you have additional changes you'd like to make. We presented this. We'll move forward in that capacity. I think, as Mr. DeFord mentioned, some things to think about are the penalty. Again, this chapter has a specific penalty that would be the default penalty. If this committee would like to see a change in that, that is one thing to think about.
Okay.
We've looked at the, as Max said, the motor vehicle issue, and really are just defaulting to our state code, which references our maximum allowance anyway. And some of the definitional changes are really meant to hone in on the concerns that this committee had. And then really once committee and ultimately council settles on the decibel levels, which is the primary issue.
Right. I agree with that.
Mayor.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, sir. I didn't mean to interrupt you. When there's a break, can I be recognized, please?
What's that?
I said, when there's an opportunity, I'd like to be recognized.
Please, this is it. Yes.
Okay. Chief Arnold, can you hear me okay, sir?
Yes, I can, sir.
Chief, I got just two quick questions for you, if you can. I know you talked about doing the education with the businesses. Have you already had the opportunity to sit down with these businesses, maybe discuss some of these decibels and see how it will impact them? I know our residents have been able to give us feedback and kind of going with this. You know, we've received a lot of emails to the council concerned about us wanting to do away with music, which is absolutely not what we want to do to our businesses. So I'm just wondering if, first of all, if you had the opportunity to speak with them and kind of get their feedback or their input.
Yes, sir, we have. Initially, there was a meeting when most of the restaurants in and around Shim Creek came. I had a separate meeting with planning department, with Post House, Old Village Post House, which is a productive meeting. They've taken some steps to mitigate their noise. So we have had several meetings with businesses. Moving forward, if it passes, there will be additional meetings in terms of education and awareness.
Absolutely. Thank you. How are they feeling about the decibel levels? What kind of feedback have you gotten from them?
I would say that's similar to where they're set currently. I think one or two businesses maybe wanted it a little bit higher, but that's, I think,
imagine
what,
that.
what the deliberative process is all about. So
completely understand. That kind of takes you to my last question for you. With these with this draft and these updates, is this going to give our police department, and again, I'm talking from experience, right, we didn't really have what we needed to necessarily enforce this. Will this give you a tool to both educate and enforce the way it should be?
It will.
Thank you, Chief. I appreciate it.
Good. Yes, ma'am, Ms. Whitley.
So one thing that we had mentioned last time or questioned was the possibility of doing, of tying the decibel levels to particular zones, like neighborhood commercial, area-wide business, so that if there was, you know, a neighborhood commercial, say, in the middle of a bunch of residences, that the decibel levels would be a little bit different for those communities, since you have homes right next to restaurants versus something like Shem Creek where, you know, it's more clustered. Is that something you feel like has been addressed by addition of definitions, or is this something that anybody on this committee is interested in discussing further?
Right, yes, ma'am. And the way that was addressed, I think there are several concerns. This one is when you do it by zones, for example, in any commercial zone, there's residential allowed, and so it wasn't really giving a complete picture. And as Mr. DeFord mentioned, the definition is now residential area. So any area deemed reasonably residential or actually residential, it would give our police department that judgment capability and enforcement. So assuming this committee is satisfied with that, we believe it's a better way to address the problem rather than just simply by zoning designation.
It
just allows better enforcement, we believe, and a more fair enforcement without having to look up and determine exactly what zone you're sitting in and where you are at any particular time.
Okay, thank you.
I have one more question. I'm sorry, Chief Arnold. It deals with restaurants that may be closer to the roads than others, where individuals would drive by to be recognized, if you will, at the restaurant. Is that something that y'all do periodically in terms of enforcing or checking on, or is, you haven't had any substantial complaints about that?
I'm sorry.
Driving my motorcycle down Coleman Boulevard and go down in front of Kickin' Chicken and choose to do whatever to increase the noise level because I want to be recognized. Is that something y'all would take action on?
If we,
but
so
just periodically testing that?
Yes. The big challenge with vehicles, of course, is they're mobile. Oftentimes, at the time we get the call to say, hey, this is happening, they're no longer there. So that's one of the biggest challenges when you're dealing with vehicles. But we've not had, in that particular case, any of the businesses along Coleman or Shem Creek call us about noise traffic, vehicle traffic.
Okay.
So
I just bring that up because we've added that into the ordinance, and I just wondered how that would work.
Most of the vehicle noise complaints comes from residential areas, more residential areas than US 17 or Coleman. We normally see that in the neighborhoods where vehicles, particularly now, the current trend is trucks with very loud mufflers.
Right.
And when they accelerate hard, they get exceedingly loud. But we've not had any complaints from businesses.
Ms. Whitley.
I guess then if an officer were to be driving on 17 and someone zooms and past them with that big loud muffler, they would be able to pull them over under the state code.
Correct.
So really, I think having this added under the state code is, it's kind of duplicative. Like, it doesn't actually add anything to what's already in the state ordinance.
Yes, ma'am. That's exactly right. And we simply defer to that. But at least for purposes of our businesses, whatever citizens are reading this ordinance may not be aware of that.
Of the
and
state
I think there's
code.
Value in providing reference.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And not to throw curveballs or anything, but would this apply like at the start of the Cooper River Bridge run? If y'all been to the starting line, you know that noise is real loud. Are citizens going to be able to call our police department on the bridge run, or the music from the blessing of the fleet going across to the condos?
I think that would probably qualify as a special event.
Okay.
So it wouldn't be an issue.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, because I can hear the music from the bridge run from like miles away.
That's probably one of the loudest things I'm familiar with, is just that whole, you know, starting line thing, the event. It's pretty loud and boisterous. Yeah, okay. Any other questions? How, just let me get a feel of this committee. Do we want to advance anything to council for Tuesday night, or do we want to give more time for people to go out and experience these noise levels?
I think people need more time. This last month was just the holidays, and people were traveling for Christmas and New Year's, and I don't think people, I mean, I know I personally didn't have the opportunity, and
right.
Yeah.
Mayor,
I agree with Ms. Whitney.
Okay.
We've been working on this for a while, and during that time, the residents continue to get concerns and send us concerns about what's going on. The first reading of this would allow us the time in between to, if those people who want to go out and hear the levels, give us the time. If we choose to make changes, we're not going to make changes on first reading anyway. We're going to make them on second reading. And that's another month. And I'm just thinking about the residents who have brought this to our attention would have another 2 months of hearing this, and we're getting into February, March, when a lot more going on. And so I just mention that as as another way to do it. But I hear some of my council member friends who think we need more time, and certainly you don't want to make things done too quickly and then have problems. But I'm thinking that we've been working on this for a while.
I hear you. I think my problem would be voting on first reading with decibel levels in here that I know I'm not comfortable with. And yes, we could only change those on second reading. But I want to go out and hear these firsthand before I vote at all, first or second reading. Is that okay? Does that make sense?
I'm one member.
Okay. I think Ms. Whitley and Carl, did I hear you correctly, Council Member Ritchie? You would like to not have first reading this coming Tuesday?
Yes, sir. That is the case. And if you remember, one of the reasons that we decided to table this and do more research was because our residents wanted more research. So I think we're doing them more of a service by taking us a little more time.
Okay. That be as it may to our parliamentarian, I guess we'll not advance this for Tuesday, but let's kind of get the effort going. And I guess the best time to do this is on the weekends, right?
Weekends, evenings.
For us to go out? Okay. So let's work on that. Let's get word to the rest of council. I know one sitting here has already done this on his own, Councilman Mike Fano, and I appreciate that. So let's all make haste to do that, and let's come back with a first reading next month on the very best we've got.
We'll schedule a couple of weekends to have organized.
Yes, sir. Okay. And just from an organizational standpoint, as our clerk of council is very aware, we can do it all at once. We'll just have to provide notice when you have a majority of council members. So if the police department can handle and council smaller groups, certainly would be more beneficial from a notice standpoint.
Got it. Okay. Any other questions on this before we move on? Thank you all. Thank you all. Legal and Chief, thank you all very much for your helpful input on that. Item B is an executive session on legal advice related to a petition to abandon Pageants Lane.
Sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mayor. In your email that I sent to you, we've received the abandonment right-of-way documents from the group. And I say the group, as you know, there's a number of residents in Pageants Lane. Really, what is being represented to be all of the residents on Pageants Lane have come before this committee in the past, asking to essentially abandon that right-of-way to make it a private road. This is not a throughway, it is a cul-de-sac. This committee has heard that that request. They have, this committee did not take any action, as it was prudently determined not to make any decisions until the group of residents came forward with a plan. They have done so through their legal counsel and filed this. I do have a brief few words for you in executive session that I'd like to cover, if okay with the committee. And this committee may take some action on that or may not take some action on that. But any general questions about the petition should be in open session.
Yeah, that was going to be my question.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do we have a motion, please?
Can we? Under executive session.
You have a motion to go into executive session for?
Legal advice.
Related to petition to abandon Pageants Lane.
I'll second that, but I do have a question. Can our general questions come after executive session?
Yes, ma'am, during a discussion phase.
Okay, thank you.
All right. So we have a motion and we have a second. The committee may take action on any item, including any subsection of any section listed on an executive session agenda or discussed in an executive session during a properly noticed meeting, meaning that if there's anything to vote on, we will have to vote on it after this executive session. All in favor of the motion to proceed to executive session for the reasons stated, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We will.
Aye.
Yes, sir. We will go into courtroom B. B. Thank you all. From a short executive session at which we received legal advice related to a petition to abandon Pageants Lane, and no action was taken, no votes were cast. Is there a motion to result from the information received?
Yes, I would like to move that we recommend to full council approval of the petition, subject to certain conditions, including but not limited to access to utilities, access for garbage and public services, access for emergency vehicles, as well as either some sort of bond or insurance related to the maintenance and repair of the road. And I think that covers everything. Did I miss anything, Mr. Pagliarini?
Ma'am, I would say just maintenance and related to drainage issues.
And maintenance related to drainage issues, so.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All right.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor of the motion as stated, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
All right, the motion is approved. And I guess we'll get updates on this as it progresses.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. That concludes item 6C. Item 7 is to adjourn. There being nothing else before this committee, we stand adjourned.
Thank you. Have a good day, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for